Hi, this is Bonnie Gillespie, and you're tuned in to The Work. I'm here with Sarah Demastair. How are you, sweetheart?
I'm really well, thank you. Very happy.
So glad you could join me today. Let's charge in, as we always do, on The Work with how self-management for actors came into your life.
Well, it came at, exactly the right moment. And when the student is ready, the teacher appears. So I was just in need of what you had to offer. And I just happened to see a Facebook post by our charming mutual talent, Stenner Storm. And I said, yeah, let's do it. Let's look into this. And I signed up right away to your Saturday retreat in November. Was this a couple of years ago?
I think so.
I can't tell time. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. And I gobbled it all up. It's exactly what I needed, exactly what I wanted. I was thirsty for it, hungry for it. I had just went around the world for five years, and I had lost my manager in the month, in the midst of that travel. And so I was in need of self-management, really, because I had lost the manager. So I said, okay, what do I have to do for myself? And I had no idea, because I had had a manager for 15 years. So I had no clue what he was doing in his office for me.
It was all mysterious.
No clue. I had no idea. And that was the beautiful gift you gave me, because I now know everything that my manager was doing in his office and what he knew and everything. I mean, I had no idea. I was very arrogant, not knowing, all the work and the knowledge that is behind managing an artist or an actor.
And so you come now from a more empowered place with anybody who joins your team, because you're partners with them rather than just surrendering.
Exactly. That's exactly it. I know what happens behind in the manager's office. I know what his goals are. I know what he's looking for. I know actually what he's doing. So now I can help him achieve that for the career of the actor and my career and for his career as
so
well.
So before we intersected, you were obviously already working quite a bit. I mentioned you'd had the manager for 15 years. What were the beginnings of your creative career? What was the spark that made you say, I am a storyteller, I'm an artist?
Okay, well, that was a long, long time ago. I mean, I was born knowing. So, I won't tell you about my poop painting days. I was one, I was always putting up shows as a little girl for my parents when they had friends over, and I was always producing a show, acting in a show, singing and dancing. So it's something I always loved. And then I went to school. I actually went back to, I'm originally French. I was born in Paris. So I went back to school there to study theater and film. And I worked as a voiceover artist and did a lot of commercials and theater. And then, it wasn't professional enough for me. The state of mind, the mindset wasn't professional enough. So I chose to come back to Los Angeles to pursue my career, and found a place on Laurel Avenue and had dinner with a friend and his manager, and just per chance, and a week later that manager asked for a photo of me, and a week after that he had he offered me to go to a casting call and for a guest star role, and I booked it. It was a beginner's luck, I guess. I booked it. It was an amazing show, prime time. And then from then on, we started working together, and he was an amazing, amazing, very loyal manager. I was very fortunate to have him on my team. And then when I would travel, he would also get me, castings here and there in London or Paris. And so yeah, that's basically how it all started. And I remember at one point I was always going for the same roles, and as an arrogant little Frenchie, I just wasn't satisfied. I wanted to play different roles. I mean, I was always going for, you know, the prostitute or the kidnapped girl, or you know, like just not empowering roles for a woman. And I wanted to change that. And so I started writing my own roles, and I wrote a short film, and I said, let's shoot, you know, it's ready, let's shoot it. And that's when I produced and directed and started my first short film. This was like five years ago. And it was amazing. And I loved directing. I came naturally for me. I did go to film school in Paris, but it was very theoretical. We didn't have any on-camera experience. This was my film school.
Having
this
the hands-on
film. Yeah.
experience.
And I had so much fun. Hands-on, yeah, absolutely, yeah. And it was a beautiful healing film for me, because it was a film that allowed me to marry my two cultures, my French background and my American culture. So it was deeply healing for me, and I got to play two very different characters, twins but very different, one French, one American. And I wrote what I would have loved to play, and I loved it, loved playing it. And it became like a calling card. And then I had the bug to direct.
I was going
to
ask.
Yeah, wrote another one and another
you pretty
one.
Pretty much did
one.
This as an experiment, and then it took a life of its own and became a rather large part of who you are as a storyteller.
It is. I've always been very visual. I mean, I went to fine arts school. I was in Paris doing theater film as well. I went to an art school because, I've always been drawn to the visual. I mean, visual movements, and hence film, is my turf. Yeah, for sure. Behind, in front of the camera, I just love the moving image, telling stories that way with lights and an emotion. I love that. Yeah,
let's talk a little bit about being a multi-market actor, because you're somebody who has lived in multiple places and maintained a career in multiple places simultaneously. How do you manage that?
How do I manage that? That's a good question. I'd like to know. I can't, like, looking back, because finally this year I decided to only focus on one market. And looking back, I realized how challenging it was actually to be present as much as I can in both continents, and with very different cultures who hardly cross over. I mean, it is happening more and more, but they hardly do. And actually, I did want to become that bridge between the two cultures, because that's who I am. And you know, it's two very different mentalities. So when I was in France, I was, you know, I was wearing my French actor hat, and I had to talk their language. I couldn't bring in too much of my American side because they didn't understand, but just enough that I was different and interesting. And I ended up attracting work that called for my multiculturalism, my bilingualism, and which is happening more and more. And you know, the French are very attracted to America. They admire America. And now actually there's even TV series that are in English and that are French, produced by French, written by or co-written by French, and that are English, yeah, or American. So I'm excited to offer that at some point, to go back there. But I did choose this year just to simplify my life and to go further, because when you spread, you know, you spread yourself. And I wanted to go deeper and further. So I had to choose one at this point in time.
Because it's sort of as if you are skimming at the top of the water when you are going from pool to pool. But when you choose one, you can sort of do a deep dive.
Exactly. There's that. And then there's also that, you know, in America, and you pointed that to me, and it's so true. If you're not here, we don't remember, we forget you. And it was just natural, you know, of course. And so I was feeling that a lot, that when every time I was coming back, I had to re-engage so strongly and almost forcefully that it just was very tiring. It was unnatural. It wasn't how I wanted to work. And in France, it's much slower. It's quite different. But there you do, they love the mingling and they have some ways that I don't jive with as much. That's why I chose this market, because it has more professionalism and more risk taking, believe it or not. And yeah, there's just more right now in this time, in this day and age, more energy, creative energy flowing freely here. If I am to compare it to France right now. Yeah.
How do you keep your creative energy flowing? How do you plug in with a community and a workout? And what is your process like day to day?
Day to day, okay. I make sure I have enough sleep. That's very important for me. I get a lot of work done in my sleep. And I'm a meditator. I meditate. Meditate has enriched my acting tool and so much because I can stay, I know how to be very, very focused and centered amongst chaos, which is oftentimes what you encounter on set. And so I've refined my meditations over the years, every day. And then I like a good workout. I mean, the body is my instrument, so I need to take care of it and polish it and strengthen it and massage it and so I've done pretty much every sport except football, but I do like the yoga, the dancing, the swimming, those types of expressions that are for me, in my brand and my essence, are make sense to this kind of movement. So I can bring it into my characters. I can bring it. I mean, just that grace that the yoga and the dancing and the swimming bring me. I can put that back into my characters. I stay connected to the community. I absolutely adore your community. It's just amazing. One thing I'm very attracted to is co-creating the Hollywood we want to be part of. I mean, that's been my dream as well. And I'm so thrilled that I met you and that you've created this community that's all about that. I mean, every day is about storytelling. So what do? I mean, I read plays, I read scripts, I keep my memory muscle running, learning either one monologue or a song a week, if not more. But weekly I get a new monologue or a new song. Singing also has also expanded me as an actor, just mastering the voice. Learning how to speak from the heart, and the breathing to let the emotions live, flow. I like to bring a lot of consciousness in my work, so the yoga and the meditation really help. What else do I do? I write a lot, stories, my life, bits of my life. I mean, it's not even my life, but just life, bits of life that I come across. I listen to a lot of podcasts around acting or filmmaking, whether it's writing or showrunners or, whatever. I tend not to be too narrow-minded. I only hear about actors talking about acting. I firmly believe that life actually can enrich you as an actor and artist more than anything. More than a class, really. So I'm interested in a lot of things. I guess I follow my heart in what I want to plug into or want to listen or read. but I do, I am mostly drawn to writers and visual artists and performers and dancers, and then real life stuff. Like, you know, what are people about? What's their story? What are they feeling? What are they trying not to feel? You know, I'm interested in all that. So I love talking with people, you know, just throwing myself in a conversation and like just being curious about who this or that person is and try to tap into their experience of life. That's always very enriching.
All up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, and then you realize it's, you know, it's, there is that part that's in me. We all, I mean, everyone's experience is something that either I've experienced before or in this lifetime or another lifetime.
Sure.
Or that because they've experienced it and I'm tapping into their energy, I can have a piece of that experience. They're giving me a piece of their experience. And that's part of the palette that I'm working with as an actor or a filmmaker, actually. Yeah.
I like all of that. It's beautiful. And it speaks to how involved you are in the process of learning and soaking up the information that comes from so many different inspiring sources to then create the stories that then mm-hmm. create the Hollywood you want to have. And I love all of that. I want to mention, for those who don't know, Sarah was instrumental in getting what is now a wildly popular 30-day self-tape challenge off the ground. I had worked with a mastermind group, and a couple of the ladies in the group were saying that they wanted to get some new demo reel footage put together. And I said, you know, y'all just need to start taping and just do some self-taping. And, you know, and they were, I had this audition and I couldn't do it because I don't have a setup. And I was like, I want to see y'all tape something every day. You just need to be shooting stuff. And I wrote about it in a column and said, they're going to do this every day for 30 days and I'm inspired. Are you inspired? And Sarah came back with, not only am I inspired, I'm so inspired. I'm going to be publicly accountable. I'm going to put my videos out there and the world can watch as I do my 30-day self-tape challenge. There's now an entire Facebook group built around this movement that you helped motivate. And so many people have now just taken this on and gotten more skilled with their ability to self-tape auditions on the fly. They've learned their technology and their angles, and it's enhanced their storytelling and their ability to memorize. There's so many benefits. But what was it that made you say, I'm in, about that in particular?
Well, because I've made a lot of films that I starred in, I mean, I learned so much from that. And so I knew that self-taping was a gold mine to excel in our craft. I mean, it's everything. I mean, because your end product is the impression of you with light on, you know, in a reel. And so at the end of the day, you know, you want to tell the story in the best way possible in that movie or that film or the TV show. So self-taping can give you an idea of how you're doing that and what shows up, what shows up on the screen, and you can create. That's one thing. Yeah, that's so important because you get to know who you are as an actor, where your attention is, how your voice is placed, if you know where your eye line is going, if you're speaking from a truthful place. It says it all. The camera shows everything, the minute little tiny little things. So you can not only become the actor that you want to become, but you can heal a lot of little things along the way. You know, I know that I've noticed a lot of tension in my mouth, for example, in my self tapes. So now I've put a lot of consciousness there, because I know that will show up in movies or in TV shows, the tension. And if it takes away from the story, I'm not doing my job well. So picking that up right away in the self-tape work is, you know, it's invaluable. And also, you know, I know people, some actors don't watch their films or look at the dailies. But watching yourself on self, you know, when you self tape, you really get to know, you become more at ease with who you are on the screen, you know, what your brand is, how you show up, and you start accepting yourself. I mean, for me, self-tape is an act of self-love. I mean, you get to self-love, you know, once those 30 days are up, it's like, oh my gosh, I've totally embraced who I was on camera as an actor. I love you start loving yourself. I mean, really, I don't know. It's kind of magical. It's invaluable. I mean, I was in at a SAG talk with a panelist of editors, and they were saying, you know, what they wanted, what they were looking for in actors. And the editor is the guy, the last guy who cuts the movie, you know, he's the one who chooses to put you on screen for a second more or a second less, or to discard your scene completely or put it on. And they said some things where, like, for example, don't get out of character or drop your gaze once the director says cut. Just stay there for a moment. There's cut, but you stay there and you finish your thought and your emotion and your breath. And then you can, and then you cut away without any, you know, without saying anything or puffing or whatever. Just let it go, let it dissolve naturally. And they love that because they can grab a second or two of you there, and it's so useful for them. And then you're on the screen for 2 seconds more, and that's great for you. So just little things that I realized that what they wanted, I learned from doing the self-tape or, in my case, I had learned also from filming myself for those films. But the self-taping, yeah, you can – filmmaking, yeah. I mean, it's what it is. I mean, you're an actor, so what you want to do is get in front of that camera. That's – or on stage. But if, you know, if you're a screen actor, just get in front of that camera. I mean, this is just – that's your job. So just get in front of it. I mean, even if it's your phone camera. You know, there's –
That's what was so phenomenal for me about this, Sarah, was getting to watch you go through it and then seeing you not just do it because it benefits you to go through the exercise, but then you wrote an article for me about what you learned and the takeaways from it. And it was so incredibly giving to the community. And it speaks to exactly what you were saying of the value that you find in creating the Hollywood we want to be a part of, that you took everything that you learned from this and then gave it back to the community to say, you can do this too. And for something that's an entirely free, easy to do, use your phone camera challenge. I thought it was just really incredible that you shared so much that happened for you in just those 30 days.
Oh yeah, my pleasure. Anytime.
It was fantastic.
I enjoyed sharing. Yeah, I mean, there's so much gold in that it's a pretty much must do. Something else I do is I do self-tape regularly too, at least once a week, if not for an audition, just for me, you know, just seeing like, let me check me out here. Let's see what I do now. So one of those songs or monologues that I would learn by heart for my memory muscle, I'll just do in front of the camera and see how I'm doing. 'Cause the intentions show up and you always learn something new. So, something else I do in my life is I'll face like a fear. I'll face like a big fear. I'll just train myself to face my fears and I'll just jump in without thinking. So my latest thing, I have been scared beepless about stand-up comedy. Like there's no way I signed up and I'm doing stand-up now. It's completely crazy, but I love it. And that is really like just getting me out into, you know, out of my comfort zone and stretching myself. That's how you discover things about your talent, about how you tell a story, about who you are and who you're not. So I always do something that scares me. So,
and I love that you chose to face stand up. I did 7 minutes at the Comedy Store, and I still to this day say that is the most terrifying thing I've ever done. And I've had a gun pulled on me. So for me to say that the most terrifying thing was 7 minutes at the Comedy Store, it's a completely different animal. And I had been a good actor and I'd done plenty of work. I was like, this is nothing. And then I was like, oh no, this is very, very different. Do you have a performance calendar? Can people who are
Well, I'm very new at this. You know what I did want to do? And this is an idea that I've had. I wanted to take all those fears one by one, face them one by one, and do like a vlog where I would get someone to film me going through those fears from, you know, start to victory, you know, to embracing the fear.
I
didn't do it for stand up. I showed I could. I still can. I'm in the beginning stages. I decided to just to learn stand up at a school. I'm in second term, so level two, and I do have a performance coming up at the school. It's Second City on Hollywood, 6560 Hollywood Boulevard. And it's, when is it? It's August 21st at 10 p.m. And yeah, that's, but it's me facing a fear. I can't guarantee a laugh, but people have been laughing. I mean, I don't know. I got that from my mom. She gets on stage and everyone laughs without her even saying anything. So she gave me that. So, you know, if my jokes are horrendous, at least I'll have some laugh just because I'm mom's daughter, I guess. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. So what's the next fear after this to conquer?
It would be, so one of my next fears is doing a pole dance competition. Believe it or not. And you,
you know, my inspirational angel.
yeah, someone else likes it. Oh, I see little Adam. Hey, thanks, Adam.
That's fantastic.
That'll be one for next year, because I'm basically giving a year for stand up and then a year for the pole dance, and then the following year, who knows what it will be? You know, who knows? I don't know yet. So that's the thing. Yeah, and I'm excited.
I'm excited too. This is thrilling. Tell me and tell everyone, please, how to stay in touch with you, how to keep up with what you've got going on, learn about any projects that are coming out that you're excited to share, social networking. What's
my jam? Oh my goodness. Okay. I mean, I love, you can call me, text me anytime. I'm writing a lot these days, and actually stand up is a lot of writing as well, but I've just jumped back into a couple scripts that I'm really passionate about. So I'm back in the writing chair. That said, I signed with an amazing agent, and also now looking to hire a manager to be on my team. I'm auditioning, I'm writing, I'm doing stand-up. I mean, that's what it's happening now, is come and see me at Second City and we'll have a drink after. Non-alcoholic for me, sorry, but a drink anyway.
And how can people keep track of you? Do you have a website that's like your one stop?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can, yeah. That, yeah, that's the best thing, yeah. SarahCinema.com, 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 and you'll see my profile as an actress, my profile as a filmmaker. You can browse and view the films I've made so far, and from there you get links to the Facebook and links to the Twitter and whatnot, and the YouTube, and you can send me messages through there.
And eventually the performance calendar of all the scary things.
Coming soon. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Mm. I love it. Fantastic. Sarah, thank you so much for sharing this time with me. You're just lovely. And I do believe you are doing some really great work to make this the Hollywood that we all want to be a part of. And I'm so
Bonnie,
glad.
Bonnie, thank you for creating this space for us and holding it with so much love and grandeur. I mean, you are amazing. I thank you for this time to share a little bit about what's going on over here. Yeah,
absolutely. And we will stay plugged in with you at sarahcinema.com. Everyone, Sarah Demaster.
All right, my friends, this has been Bonnie Gillespie for another episode of The Work. Thank you so much for joining me here. Please join me over at bonniegillespie.com for all sorts of goodness between episodes. And until next time, stay ninja.